All right. We're coming back to the Lord's pattern for prayer for us, teaching us how to pray, what things we should pray for, what things it pleases our Father to hear from us. And so far we've learned that when we come to God in prayer, we must come to Him as His children in Christ. No man comes unto the Father but through Jesus. He is our loving, He's our protecting Father, He's our great provider. He's our great counselor, our guide, and He corrects us because He loves us. He's not going to let us live like the devil's kids. He'll always be faithful to chasten us back to Himself. We remember that He is the high and holy sovereign over all. He's our Father in heaven. He sees it all. He's in perfect peace. All is calm. Everything's all right in our Father's house. And all things are going to the counsel of His eternal will that He saw from before He created time itself. And then, as we begin to ask God, to petition God, to pray to Him for things in prayer, Jesus taught us to remember. Make sure that you look to God's glory first. He said, in your prayers, don't ask for things that will glorify yourself, your own fame and fortune. Your desire over your enemies, your riches, popularity at school. No, pray for God to be popular. Pray for God to be glorified. Pray for God to be lifted up. Pray for His fame to abound as the waters cover the sea. Now we come to the second request in prayer. We had prayed, reminding ourselves that we come to our precious Heavenly Father who cannot lie,
whose name is set apart above all things. Thou shalt obey Him.
All right. Microphone playing tricks there, so I went along with it a little bit myself. So we come now to the second request in prayer, and that's Thy kingdom come, or Your kingdom come. Do you want me to be louder now, or no? Okay, this is good. Okay. So we're to pray for God's kingdom to come. The great Baptist theologian and pastor John Gill, who pastored the New Park Street Chapel that later Charles Spurgeon became the pastor of when he was about 16, 17 years old, he wrote in his commentary, by the way, he's the only commentator to have commented on every single verse in the New Testament and the Old Testament, the whole Bible. And John Gill, the great theologian, wrote, "The form of prayer used by the ancient Jews before the coming of Christ was then, and still is, the kingdom of your Messiah come. Christ leaves out the word Messiah and puts your kingdom come to let them know that the Messiah has come, and that it was the kingdom of the Father in the power of His grace upon the souls of men they must pray for and expect." In other words, it wasn't the coming of a great general, a great warrior like David, who was going to destroy the Romans and put the Gentiles into subjection to the Jews again, as in the days of David and the days of Solomon. He said, "Your kingdom come to let them know that Messiah was already here, and that it was the kingdom of the Father in the power of His grace upon the souls of men they must pray for and expect." What does this mean then? What is God's kingdom? When is it to come? First, as we just hinted at, it is not an earthly, political, or ethnic kingdom we are to pray for. In the prayers of the Jews, it was very racist. It was very ethnic. It was very political. It was military that they were praying for. This is not an earthly, political, ethnic kingdom that Jesus is commanding us to pray for. Jesus said, "My kingdom is not of this world. If it were of this world, then My servants would fight. But My kingdom is not of this world." His kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, an eternal kingdom. And His dominion endures from everlasting to everlasting, the Bible says. Scripture says the government of the universe is on His shoulders. He was King of Kings before creation. And before He came to be our Savior, He was born King. And He was worshipped by the Magi who traveled from far, who had great power, great authority in their native lands. And they came and fell down before Him and offered Him gifts. When they were looking for him, when they came to King Herod, they said, "We seek him who is born King of the Jews." Well, he was born King of the Jews because he always was King of kings and Lord of lords, not only of Jews, but of Gentiles as well. He was always King of kings and Lord of lords. Jesus said, "All power, all authority, the power over everything, authority over everything is given to me in heaven and in earth." It is not God's providential kingdom either. So it's not a mere physical, military, political, ethnic kingdom, but it's not just his providential kingdom. His kingdom already rules over all. He puts down one and sets up another. He works all things according to the counsel of his will. So providence is already under his authority. He's already doing all things according to the counsel of his will. So we're not to pray for something that already exists from before the creation of the world. It is a twofold kingdom. It is a twofold kingdom. A kingdom of grace that will culminate in a kingdom of glory. A kingdom that begins with grace, the grace of God and salvation, and will end in glory, God being glorified forever and ever. In fact, it won't end. It'll go on for eternal, from everlasting to everlasting, in eternal, infinite glory. So it's twofold, a kingdom of grace that will come and culminate into a kingdom of eternal glory. It is a kingdom begun in God's grace through his son Jesus. It moves forward through the preaching of the gospel of Christ. The first words of Jesus in the Gospel of Mark, if you especially have a red letter edition of the Bible, the first words of Christ as he goes preaching throughout Galilee he says this, "The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel." And so it's the gospel of Christ, believing on Christ. "For by grace you have been saved through faith, not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." So it's all of God's grace. He sent his son to us. And when we believe on him, we are saved by his grace, kept by his grace, live by his grace, and are accepted by his grace, his children forever by his grace. And when we get to heaven, or on the day when Jesus returns, that day of grace has culminated. It has reached its splendor forever and ever in a kingdom of glory. Well, we rule and reign with Christ. We see Christ. We walk with Christ. We worship Christ unhindered. And so, it's a twofold kingdom. And that, you remember when Jesus would teach in parables, he would speak about the kingdom in such words as this: "Another parable Jesus put forth to them, saying, 'The kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seed in his field.'" And what was that seed? It was the gospel message. Some heard, and because they're frivolous and don't take things to heart, they care more about the things of the world and what the world admires than what God demands. And so the seed fell by the wayside, and the fowls of the heaven, in other words, demonic spirits, came and took the seed. And people didn't even remember or care to remember what they had heard. And then another, some fell this way, that way. So it's the kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seed in his field. And when it landed on good ground, it took root and brought forth fruit, some 30, some 60, some 100-fold. Again, he said, "The kingdom of heaven is like a dragnet that was cast into the sea and gathered some of every kind, some good, some bad. The good they kept and the bad were cast out. The kingdom of heaven shall be likened to 10 virgins," Jesus said, "who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. And some had oil in their lamps, some did not. Some had the Holy Spirit. They were genuinely born again, true blue, blood-washed believers in Christ. And the others were mere pretenders." And churches are full of people like that. "The kingdom of heaven is advanced by prayer and the preaching and sharing of the gospel of God's grace, measureless grace, infinite grace in Christ." It is all about Jesus. It's not about being baptized, not about giving in offerings, not about in faithful church attendance. All those things are wonderful. All those things are good. But salvation is by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone, for God's glory alone. Nobody gets to heaven and says, "Well, God, I needed your help, but look, I made it." No. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. All our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. For there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the Lord Jesus, who gave himself a sacrifice for our sins. And the Father sent as the only way to heaven. If there were any other way to heaven, if you could be good enough, if you could give enough, if you could be educated enough, if you could be baptized enough, if you could be baptized till every fish in Big Bear Lake knows your social security number by heart, you couldn't go to heaven. It's through Christ alone, His grace alone, the infinite, wonderful grace that is in Christ. And so, what does it mean? What is God's kingdom? When is it to come? It's a kingdom that is now. When do we get to rule and reign with Christ? Now. Greater is He who is in us than he who is in the world. We are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. We have the victory now. We are the children of God now. May not feel like it all the time. We're involved in the battle. I'll use an illustration later that will clear this. Make it more understandable. So it's a kingdom that begins in grace and ends in glory. And so we'll talk about that. First of all, the kingdom of grace. The kingdom of grace is the reign of God within the hearts of His people. The Jews wanted a king to drive out the Romans, but God sent His king to conquer our worst enemies. What's a worse enemy than the Romans or any other occupiers? Sin is the worst enemy. If there were no sin, there would not be Satan, there would not be hell, there would not be sorrow, death, crying, tears. None of these things. Sin is the mother of all evils. Sin gave birth to hell, to death, to Satan. Satan rules and reigns over the hearts of the wicked, but Christ has His kingdom in the hearts of His children. Napoleon is a fascinating historical figure. He wasn't too tall. He was kind of short guy, but he led huge armies that, kind of like Alexander the Great, that conquered large portions of the civilized world. And Napoleon said this about Jesus. Are your ears hurting, Brother Philip?
The bathroom.
Oh, okay. Because I'm concerned about the sound of the microphone bothering people. Napoleon said his army served him out of fear. He said, "Jesus Christ is the greatest conqueror of all." Jesus of Nazareth, he called him. He said, "Jesus is the greatest conqueror and emperor of all because millions serve Him in love. They serve me because they're afraid that I'll kill them if they don't, and I would. But millions multiplied would gladly and willingly lay down their lives for Jesus in adoration and worship for Him." Isn't that wonderful? You know, Napoleon, all those armies, they served him. All his captains, all his regular soldiers served him because if he didn't, he would court-martial them and put them to death. And here he is in amazement and wonder at the Lord Jesus over his millions of followers who gladly serve him and would willingly give their lives for him in adoration and love because he reigns in their hearts. Napoleon could reign over their bodies, but Jesus was beloved, the most beloved to their very soul. And millions upon millions would gladly and willingly lay down their lives for him. It is by believing on Jesus, by trusting on Him, by entrusting our never-dying eternal soul into His nail-pierced hands that we enter the kingdom of God. Jesus said twice to one of the wisest leaders in Israel who was yet not a Christian but became one. Jesus said to him, "Except a man is born again, born from above, he cannot see the kingdom of heaven." So you only enter it by faith, by the second birth, the new birth by believing on Jesus, being born from above by God's grace. And then Paul wrote this, He, talking about God the Father, has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us, notice it's in past tense, He has delivered, past tense, us from the power of darkness and conveyed, past tense, us into the kingdom of the Son of His love. We're in the kingdom right now. It's a kingdom of grace. All of grace. And remember what John chapter 1 said about Jesus. He said, the law came through Moses, but grace came through the Lord Jesus Christ. And he's in the word having to do with grace in chapter 1, being in Jesus, means grace after grace, grace upon grace, grace under it all, grace above it all, grace around it all. Everything is of grace. No wonder some of these churches, they want to name themselves Grace Baptist Church. Because it is all of grace. And He had translated us into the kingdom of His Son. We're now in that kingdom. This kingdom of grace that is moving steadily onward to that kingdom of glory when Christ returns for us. And so also about this kingdom of grace, what are we to pray for then? We say, Your kingdom come. We are to pray that God would fully reign in our own hearts. Be the king of our lives. That He would put down all rebellion and unrighteousness in our souls. In other words, that when we say the Lord Jesus, we mean it. He's Lord of my life. He's king of my soul. He's monarch of my dreams. He's monarch of my hopes. He's the king over all. His kingdom come. In my heart, in my soul, in my life, in my home, in the things that I say, in the things that I do, I'm under the kingship or lordship of Christ. Romans 14:17 says, For the kingdom of God is not physical. In other words, it says, For the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. It's spiritual. It's all of His grace. But righteousness, whose righteousness? Our righteousness? No. His righteousness, which comes to us by God's grace. His peace. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world gives, do I give unto you. And so we have His righteousness. We have His peace. And it says, and joy. John 16:17, Jesus talks about giving us His joy. His very joy. In the Holy Spirit. And as soon as we're saved, we're sealed by the Holy Spirit. We're children of God by His grace. So what does it mean, Thy kingdom come? We are to pray that God would subdue all people to Himself through the gospel. That the earth would be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as waters cover the sea. That others around us might believe and be saved and enter into this kingdom. That our ranks may increase, that as John said, he saw the 10,000 upon 10,000 and thousands of thousands, a number that no man could number, that we would see God bring so many souls to Himself, it would fill us with joy in the Holy Spirit. So we are to pray that God would bring and draw and subdue all people to Himself through the good news of Jesus Christ. We are to pray that, you know, Jesus said, Look on the fields, they're white to harvest. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, which is the Holy Spirit. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that He would send forth laborers into His vineyard. Send forth laborers into His field. Amen. This is the increase of His kingdom. Your kingdom come. We're to pray that God would increase His kingdom by sending more servants into the field, by sending more preachers of the word, by sending more missionaries with the gospel, that He would establish more gospel preaching churches, that these churches around us that have quit preaching the gospel long ago, actually Ellen was part of that of a movement like that, the Worldwide Church of God. And they were a cult. They were not a gospel preaching movement bent on the glory of Christ through the salvation of sinners. But now they are. I would love to see the Presbyterians start preaching like John Knox and John Calvin and some of these ancient heroes of old, John Owen and others, that they would come to Christ. We are to pray that God would subdue the earth to himself. We are to pray that God would increase the gospel of his kingdom being preached. Jesus said, repent and believe the gospel, for the kingdom of heaven is here. My kingdom is not of this world. His kingdom is from heaven. Then his gospel would not return void. But as it is preached, it would go forth conquering and bringing souls to the Son of God. That's what it means to pray for his kingdom to come. That he would get great glory in saving sinners and turning them from his enemies, as he did Paul, into his servants. And since he said, well, Brother Ross, you said it's a kingdom of grace. Yes, it is. It's begun in grace. And it will culminate. It will reach the apex. It will reach the highest form of his grace as it reaches its full growth in the kingdom of glory. The kingdom of grace will be perfected and fulfilled at Christ's return. When that last sheep is brought into his fold, that last sheep has come home, when the shepherd has put that last sheep on his shoulder, when all his enemies are defeated and people stand before him, his people stand before him without spot or blemish or any such thing on that great day of judgment, this is the kingdom of glory in full blossom from the kingdom of grace. So the kingdom of grace is the bud on the vine or on the flower. And when it comes to its full blossom, that's the kingdom of glory. We're heading there. That's where God's grace begins. God's grace begins in saving sinners and fitting us for heaven, the kingdom of glory. And so it is to pray for the fulfillment of what Christ has begun, that he would bring us into full and perfect communion with God, because we are finally made perfect like Jesus. We shall see him as we shall be made like him, for we shall see him as he is. We'll receive a glorified body, the Bible says, that we'll be singing for his glory forever. You know, this word glory is amazing, because Jesus said he would share his glory with us. But it all begins by grace. It all begins by believing on Jesus and calling on his name. The kingdom of glory is the full blossom of the kingdom of grace. So to pray for it, it is to pray that he come to us and relieve us from all sin, all sorrow, all pain and affliction. That this kingdom of grace in which we suffer now would come and deliver us from our captivity in this Egypt, and deliver us into the land of promise, the land that flows with milk and honey, the heavenly kingdom. The kingdom of grace is the seed. The kingdom of glory is the flower. The kingdom of grace is the daybreak. The kingdom of glory is the brightness of noonday. What is held in all those promises that are yes and amen to the glory of Christ. The application quickly is this. The coming of the kingdom is like the defeat of Germany in World War II. The coming of the kingdom is like the defeat of Germany in World War II. We just celebrated a very important date in history, the 75th anniversary of D-Day. For all intents, Germany was defeated when we took the beaches at Omaha and Normandy and Gold Beach and Utah. When we took those places, and by the way, do you know what the password was on that day? For each airborne squadron that reached their objective, for each tank force that reached their objective, for every infantry squad, for every battalion, for every movement on D-Day, do you know what the password was that they had reached their objective? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. In other words, glory to God. And for all intents, Germany was defeated when the Allies stormed into France on D-Day. From that day on, Germany was fighting a losing battle. Germany was just trying to survive another day. They were fighting a lost cause. And Satan is fighting so much the more as he sees the day approaching, because he knows he's lost the battle now that Christ is risen again from the dead. Since then, all those who follow Christ are more than conquerors to Him who loved us. Second point of application, and this to describe more of this kingdom of grace and glory. Thy kingdom come. It's not ethnic, it's not political, it's not geographical, it's not military. It spreads like the tree that Jesus said, therefore, the kingdom is like a mustard seed that is sown, which is small at first, and then grows into great branches and a great bush, to where all the birds of the heaven come and find rest in its branches. In ancient Athens, there were two temples. There was the temple of virtue, and there was the temple of honor. But no one could ever enter the temple of honor unless he had first gone through the temple of virtue. In other words, you cannot enter the kingdom of glory unless you enter the kingdom of grace. Most assuredly, Jesus said, I say to you, unless one is born from above, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born of water, which is the word of God or the gospel, and the Holy Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God can only be entered, this kingdom of grace, the kingdom of God can only be entered through grace, the grace of God that's in Christ. If you don't enter that temple, you can't enter the temple of honor or glory. You must enter the temple of God's grace to then enter the kingdom of His glory. Lastly, if you belong to King Jesus, the kingdom you are now a part of, a kingdom that now exists and moves forward, will rule victorious over all when our King returns. Until then, we pray, Your kingdom come, Your kingdom come. Let more souls be saved. Let thy kingdom of grace come upon this, our church, our community, our country. Lord, save more souls. Subject more and more people, their hearts, to your lordship over their lives. Be their king. And so John closes out the book of Revelation with one last prayer. He says, even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus. Amen. Let the kingdom of glory begin, he's saying. Lord, I've suffered so much. We've been so afflicted. Lord, please come again. Oh, my King, I want to see you in all your beauty and your splendor and your glory. I want to hear your praises. Here on earth, I hear your name used as a cuss word. Here on earth, I hear your name blasphemed. By here, I hear your name taken in vain. Lord, I want to be in a place where everyone loves you and praises your name. Lord, here we live in the midst of sin and temptation, and deceit and ugliness and vileness. Even our own hearts are still carnal and fleshly, and the good things we want to do, we don't do. The bad things we don't want to do, we end up doing. Oh, let the kingdom of your glory come, where I shall be saved not only from the power, the penalty of sin, but from the very presence of sin forever, to serve you with all my energy. Every nth degree of my being, I won't be able to help it. I'll see you in all your glory. And I'll automatically worship you to the nth degree of my being. My voice, my eyes, my heart, my hands will all move to the glory of God. And so, this kingdom of grace is necessary to enter before you can go to heaven and glorify God and see His glory forever and ever. And that's what the words mean. Thy kingdom come. Lord, let thy kingdom come within the hearts of my family and my friends. May they all bow down and worship the Lord Jesus as King. May they all submit themselves to you by your grace, by the power of your Holy Spirit, through the blood atonement and resurrection of your Son. And Lord, let us rejoice and magnify your glorious name forever and ever when we enter the kingdom of glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.